But here's what we talk about. How Dr. Lipton ended up working on stem cells way back in 67 when most people didn't even know what they were. And then why we have stem cells and what their potential are. How our thoughts and beliefs affect the chemical makeup of our body, in turn affecting our cellular health. And then why the most valid, tested, and verified science on the planet is quantum physics. How to change or get rid of the subconscious programs that you collected in your formative years. And that's the same programming that dictates 95% of your current life. Why effort can't overcome belief. What we can learn from the story of Jesus, even if we're not Christian. How collectively recovering our creative power will allow us to change the world's current chaos into a Garden of Eden. The biology of belief and why what happened to your ancestors or in your past doesn't have to dictate your future. And then we cover the exciting news that there is no gene that causes cancer. However, beliefs are easily passed from parent to child. And then finally, perhaps my favorite part of the conversation, Bruce teaches us how to overcome the fear of, and maybe even the effect of, cell towers, EMFs, and other environmental threats, or at least our perception of them. So as you can see, this is going to be a fascinating conversation and one that I'm so excited to deliver to you. I've had Bruce Lipton on my list of target dream guests for a long time, and I'm so happy that this finally happened. So without further delay or further ado, my friends, let's welcome to the show, Bruce Lipton. Bruce, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Luke. I'm very, very pleased to be here. And I think we have some wonderful, empowering information to talk about today. So that is exciting to me.
I do too. I think that's what I like about your work specifically. I mean, it's so vast, but there's something that I'm a huge fan of, and that is that we are not victims of our environment and victims of circumstance, that we actually have some license and influence on our level of satisfaction and health as human beings. And that is super exciting to me.
Well, it's great because we've been programmed to be victims throughout our whole life. You know, I mean, when it comes to your health, even as a child, you were programmed, well, if it's a health issue, you don't deal with it. You have to go to a doctor and they deal with it. So you give up control of your life in this program. And that's just one of the many times we lose power when we're programmed to not be powerful. And that's unfortunate.
Well, that's one of the things that I really enjoy about the show is turning people on to new ideas about their spiritual lives, about their physical lives, and helping people to be able to actually, I don't know, I don't like using the word control because to me, control sort of has a negative connotation. I'm trying to find a good substitute for that currently. But, you know, that we do in fact have the power within ourselves to be healthy and to be happy. And you're right. We're led through so much coercion from the time we're born to the fact, to the opposite, you know? So, it's exciting stuff. We're in a really great time now. And I'm so grateful to be able to share information like this with people because I get feedback all the time, regarding the guests that we have on saying, oh my God, I had no idea about this. And now I'm sort of handling this myself and I'm going to the doctor less or going to the shrink less because I'm fixing it myself, which is really exciting. So something I want to touch on, Bruce, is the fact that back in 1967, you were working with stem cells. And I find that to be very fascinating considering that, you know, that was such a pioneering move.
Back in 67, I was working on stem cells. What was real interesting back then is that there were only a handful of people in the entire world back then that even knew what a stem cell was. So I was in a unique place and a unique opportunity to work with something that biology is, you know, it's the front of biology today, all the stem cell research. Well, pioneer, just because the numbers of people back there were real small. And I had an opportunity to see things ahead of the general population of even researchers because of the unique material of what stem cells are. Maybe I should give a short stem cell definition.
Let's do that.
For number one is this, when we look in the mirror and see ourselves as a single body, that is an illusion because the body is actually made out of 50 trillion cells. The cells are the living entity. The body is, by definition, it's a community. So you're looking at a community of cells. And the relevance about this 50 trillion cell community is that every day we lose hundreds of billions of cells die. Routine, every day, red blood cells are dying, being replaced. Of course, skin. All right, let's talk about, because we're talking about the stem cells and the fact, why do we have stem cells, which are embryonic cells? As a matter of fact, you know, if I did a biopsy on a baby just before it's born, said, oh, look, here's an embryonic cell. And then right after the baby is born, do the exact same biopsy, look at the exact same cell and go, oh, no, that's called a stem cell. So I just want people to know stem cell is just another word for embryonic cell. And why do we have them? Because we lose hundreds of billions of cells every day. And to stay alive, you have to replace them. So here's a simple point for people if they're concerned about stem cells. If you're still here listening to me, you still got stem cells, because if you didn't have stem cells, you would die out pretty fast after losing that many billion cells a day. So stem cells are these embryonic cells. Point about it, what did I learn? And it was so amazing because it was a complete contradiction to what I was teaching, and especially like to medical students, about the nature of genes controlling life. So that's the standard belief of the public right now. It's been that way. Genes control the character of my life. Genes turn on and off on their own. I didn't pick the genes as far as I know. And I don't like the characters. I can't change the genes. And the genes are doing their own self-activation. That takes me out of the picture in a sense. Geez, I'm a victim of my genes controlling the character of my life. So I'm a victim. Okay. So I'm teaching what is, and it's called genetic determinism. That means genes determine the character. And at the same time, I'm working with the stem cells, the embryonic cells. So very quickly, I was cloning them. And what that means is simply this, is I take one stem cell, put in a petri dish all by itself. It divides every 10 or 12 hours. So first there's one cell, then there's two, then there's four, then there's eight, doubling and doubling. A week later, 30,000 cells in the petri dish. Most important point, they all came from one parent. So that means I have 30,000 genetically identical cells in the petri dish. I split those genetically identical cells into three different dishes. So all the dishes have genetically identical cells. And I feed the cells culture medium. That's the environment in which they live. And you say, what is culture medium? Definition is simple. It's the equivalent of blood. So if I take human cells and put them in a plastic dish, I look at human blood composition and then make a synthetic version called culture medium, and the cells grow. That's the environment they live in anyway. But because I synthesize the culture medium, it also gives me an opportunity to change some of the combination of the chemicals. So I make three different versions of culture medium, slightly different chemistry. So I have A, B, and C. Well, they represent environments. The cells live in the culture medium. So in environment A, culture medium A, my stem cells form muscle. In the second dish, where they're living in environment B, culture medium B, the stem cells form bone. And in the third dish, with environment C, different culture medium, genetically identical cells become fat cells. Well, now you're left with the most profound question is, what controls the fate of the cells? And the answer is this. Well, first of all, they all were genetically identical. So it wasn't like one set were muscle cells or anything. They were all the same. The only thing that was different was the environment. The chemistry of the culture medium controls the genetics and behavior. Now you go, okay, that's real interesting, Lipton, about your laboratory stuff. What does that have to do with me? And here comes the exciting connection to you as people, and it's simply this. As I said, when you look at yourself, you're not a single entity. You're a community of 50 trillion cells, okay? And I say, why is it relevant? You're a skin-covered petri dish, and you have the original culture medium, blood. And I say, does it make a difference if the cell is in a skin dish or a plastic dish? I go, nope. It's still controlled by the environment, which in both cases is the equivalent of blood or actual blood. So then all of a sudden, so I say, what does it mean to me as a human? And I say this, the genes do not control my behavior and my genetic activity. It was the environment, the culture medium, the blood was controlling my behavior, my genetic activity, and my emotions, okay? So I go, oh, okay, so here's the two steps that will then all of a sudden go, aha, I hope. Step one is this. The blood composition is the culture medium for my cells controlling genetics and behavior. And then I say, well, if the chemical composition is what's important, then what in my body controls the chemical composition of my blood? And I go, the nervous system. Okay. But now comes the next and bigger question. So what chemicals should the nervous system put into the blood, which in turn control biology? And I go, it's a relationship to the picture in your mind. your brain translates a picture into chemistry. Okay. And the chemistry is a complement to whatever the picture is. So different mind thoughts, different visions in your head are releasing different concentrations of chemicals that complement the picture. So a simple understanding is this. We're sitting here right now. If we close our eyes and then open them up and see someone we love, I go, what's the picture? Oh, a picture of love. I go, oh, guess what? When love is the picture in the mind, the brain releases wonderful chemicals such as dopamine, pleasure, oxytocin, bonding to that source of pleasure, vasopressin makes you more attractive, growth hormone, which is does what it says. I say, why is it relevant? I say, think about it this way. A picture of love in your mind is translated into chemistries, which I just mentioned. And when I add those chemicals to a petri dish of cells, guess what? They grow beautifully. They grow exuberantly well. This is why when people fall in love, they glow. They're so healthy. I'm in love. I go, it's not a coincidence your biology is so healthy because the chemistry you're feeding them in the blood is of health. But I say, wait, same person opens their eyes and sees something that scares them. I go, oh, different chemistry. The chemistry of fear, oh, that's stress hormones, chemicals that interfere with the immune system, all different chemicals. I say, what's the point? I say, the chemistry in fear radically changes the biology of the body to deal with fear. And all of a sudden I say, so what am I saying? I say, well, the character of your body, the cells, is related to the chemistry of the blood, which is related to the brain, and then ultimately get to the top of the pile and say, and it all is complementary to your thoughts. Positive thoughts will bring you health.